Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It must be football season in Texas. This is Game Day with Jeff Ward on News Radio 1080 KRLD. Every Friday night, get an insider's look at college football with a Texas twist. From big matchups and exclusive interviews to expert analysis and accurate odds. Everything a Texas football fan needs. Game Day with Jeff Ward right now on News Radio 1080 KRLD. Powered by Uber Eats.
This is Game Day. I'm Jeff Ward, and wherever you are in Texas, thanks for listening. This is a show about the storylines of the games, the players and coaches of the programs you care about, and the best football state in the country. Okay, here's what's ahead. I'll give you the Game Day top five. We'll talk about the A&M-Texas rivalry, and we have to talk about which A&M team shows up against Texas on Saturday night at Kyle Field. Because when the Aggies are dialed in and they're on, they're impressive. But other times, they disappear completely. Case in point, this past week, they're down 21-0 on the road against Auburn. And then, out of nowhere, comes storming back, but lost. We'll get to our under pressure lists that highlights the teams, the coaches, and players most under pressure this weekend. There's a lot to hand out. Then we'll finish up with some predictions. It gets interesting. This weekend decides championships. This is it. If you want to look at this weekend anyway, it's semifinal weekend. That's what it is. By the end of the day on Saturday, we'll know the championship players in all major conferences. In some cases, we already know one half. The SEC already knows that Georgia is playing in the SEC championship game, even though they have a game left and could lose, to be honest. The ACC knows it has SMU in the ACC championship. The Big Ten knows that it has Oregon in the Big Ten championship, and then the Big 12. Oh my. We know nothing because it's complete chaos with 256 variations of deciding who could play in the Big 12 championship game. So, for the most part, Saturday decides everything going forward.
Now, the Game Day Power Index, powered by Kia of Fresco.
All right, let's talk about our top five. There have been a couple of changes. SMU has done their part for sure, and there might be an argument that they should be number one. So let's start with number five. It's Texas Tech. They scored 56 on Oklahoma State a week ago, and there is a slim, I can't do this all day long, but there's a slim chance Texas Tech could play for the Big 12 championship. As I mentioned, there are 256 different combinations to decide the Big 12 champion. Texas Tech sits at 3 losses. And for them to get to the championship game, they would need Iowa State, BYU, and Arizona State to all lose. Tech hosts West Virginia. They, of course, have to win that game. They win that one, and they can call it a pretty good season, even though there's an outside chance. It's still a mathematical chance they can make the Big 12 championship game. At number 4 is Baylor. And what a story this is. They get their fifth straight win this past week against Houston. And believe it or not, like Texas Tech, they've got a slim chance to make the championship game. They get Kansas in Waco this weekend with a chance to make it six in a row. It's been a really good year for Dave Aranda, a guy who was we all thought was going to get fired. Baylor was picked dead last in the Big 12 by most people. And look at him now. They're chasing six wins in a row. Here, in a weird way, is how Baylor could make the Big 12 championship game. BYU, Iowa State, and Arizona State, and or Colorado all lose. That's doubtful, but there's still a chance. Remember, here's the problem for Baylor. Colorado plays winless Oklahoma State in Boulder. So it's a stretch. Either way, Baylor getting six straight wins would be huge. And number three is Texas A&M. Does anybody know how to figure this team out? What looked like a disastrous loss at Auburn last week, for about 30 minutes following that four overtime loss, it looked like A&M had blown it. They had no chance in the SEC. All that was left was a fun game against Texas. They trailed 21-0 in the first quarter at Auburn. They ended up losing in four overtime periods, and it turned out it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. All the dominoes fell A&M's way for the rivalry with Texas. Here's what happened. Ole Miss loses to Florida. Then Alabama that night, same night, gets blasted by Oklahoma, a team that is next to last in the SEC. So the loss to Auburn, after all of that energy, the loss to Auburn turns out it didn't mean anything in the standings. The setup now for A&M and Texas is very clear. The A&M-Texas game at Kyle Field is the SEC semifinal game. That's it. That's what it is. The winner advances to play Georgia. A loss will likely, I mean, most likely, end A&M's playoff chances. They're not going to get an automatic bid. They're not going to get an at-large bid. So this is it. This is the SEC semifinal. Mike Elko, who admitted publicly he was furious about the way his team played at Auburn, certainly for the first half, he's in a different spot now, and he admitted as such. During his news conference this week, he talked about the loss to Auburn, but then, of course, he acknowledged the history of the A&M-Texas game.
Yeah, probably like in those like middle school, high school years when you started seeing this game on if I'm not mistaken, it was like Thursday night for a while, Friday night. It was always its isolated time slot. And then you started watching it and you started kind of seeing the pageantry of it, and then kind of became almost a must watch for a while. Then you get into coaching, and at that point you lose sight of everything that goes on outside of your world. And then obviously coming back here as a defensive coordinator, you understood a little bit what it was all about without even having played the game. And then when they made the decision to join the league, you kind of always knew this day was coming. And now for the rivalry to be back, it's great to be part of.
Coach, obviously the ups and downs of losing a football game, then quickly finding out that this next one is even bigger than you could have imagined. You preached all year about keeping the main thing the main thing. What was the messaging to the players, and how did they respond to knowing that, hey, the game that everyone's already been waiting for is going to be the biggest of the season officially?
Yeah, I think we kind of caught wind of it a little bit in the locker room. I wasn't 100% sure post locker room against Auburn, but I kind of had an idea with how things had broken out. You have some of those tiebreakers in your mind a little bit, and so I when I talked to the team after the game, we obviously talked about the disappointment and what we didn't do right, but I think quickly shifted to, I told him in the locker room, I said, I'm 90% sure this game still means everything. And then we found out quickly after that I was right on that. And so this game was going to be important to us no matter what, for it to be important on both levels, right? Important within the terms of Texas A&M and what we stand for in the rivalry part of it, but now also in terms of our individual goals of getting to Atlanta. It's what you hope for, right? You hope to get to the last game of the year playing for everything, and we're in the last game of the year playing for everything.
What a bizarre roller coaster the next 30 minutes to an hour after that game ended. So this game now, it means everything. It's not just the rivalry back for the first time in 13 years. It is the SEC semifinal game. So A&M is number three. Number two is SMU, and I'm not sure they don't deserve to be number one. It's an easy argument to say that SMU should be the game day number one, but SMU just keeps cruising along, blowing people out. What a year. And I think it's under the radar kind of year. SMU has now clinched the ACC championship game. And no matter what happens, because they play Cal this weekend in Dallas, it doesn't matter. They're playing for the ACC championship. They are either going to be playing Miami or Clemson. Now, what could be an issue? And I do think it's a legitimate argument, legitimate debate. And that is, could SMU lose the ACC championship game? That would only be a second loss on a team that will have beaten four ranked teams all season. But let's just say SMU goes on to lose the ACC championship game. The question would then be, would they still, with this playoff committee picking the 12 teams, would they still get an at-large bid into the 12-team tournament? The answer is, at this point, the answer is maybe. SMU, in a weird way, is benefiting by the chaos of the Big 12 and the chaos of the SEC. So that's kind of hanging out there. I think 2 weeks ago, most of us would have said no chance. A two-loss SMU is probably not going to get in that tournament. And I think the answer to that was maybe. Now, if the ACC championship game were today, SMU would likely be the favorite over either Miami or Clemson, I think. SMU coach Rhett Lashley has got to be. I mean, I don't even know how it's close. I don't know how it's not unanimous. He has to be the ACC coach of the year. And remember, this storyline for SMU, which is remarkable, and that is they had to, in essence, buy their way into the league. They're not getting TV revenue from the ACC. The ACC didn't really even want them. And here they are in year one, not only playing for the league championship, but probably the favorite to win the league championship. They're deserving. It's no fluke. It's no flash. SMU's been that good all season long. At number one, I guess slightly above SMU, still this point, now at 10 wins, they beat Kentucky in Austin 31-14. Number one is Texas. The setup is simple for Texas. In fact, it's simple two ways. They're in the Big 12. They're in the 12-team tournament almost no matter what. I think there's about a 95% chance ESPN rankings have them that they would make the 12-team tournament no matter what happens at Kyle Field. But the difference is a win over A&M, they would then get a rematch in the SEC championship game with Georgia. Georgia has clinched the SEC championship game even if they lose, which might happen, even if they lose to Georgia Tech in their last game. So, you know, if A&M were to beat Texas, it's, I believe, a 6 or 7 point spread at this point, then Texas would be out of the SEC championship game, but still most likely get as a two-loss Texas team, would get an at-large bid. The issue then is, one, winning a conference championship, but two, getting what comes with that, and that is a first-round bye, which every coach will tell you is huge. A&M, though, and you know, when they're on, they are athletic. They do present a lot of problems for Texas, arguably the best team when they're on that Texas will have played this entire season. Steve Sarkisian, you know, he couldn't brag enough about A&M this week.
Revive the rivalry with A&M to go to College Station Saturday with an opportunity to play in the SEC championship game on the line, College Game Day being there. Definitely exciting, and they're a very good football team. You know, Coach Elko's done a great job in year one. You know, they definitely have an elite premier defensive front that kind of is the strength of that team. With all that being said, they're good in a lot of other areas as well. They're excellent third down defense. They get after the quarterback. You know, I think offensively, they're very efficient. They control the ball. They are a very good red zone offensive football team. And when they get there, they score touchdowns. I think the, you know, inserting Reed at quarterback has provided a real spark for them. They're a big offensive football team. They're a big offensive line. They got big receivers. They got a physical running back. So they pose a lot of great challenges for us. But these are the games that you look forward to playing in. And with something on the line, you know, we're excited about the opportunity, and we got to prepare really well this week.
Anybody that grew up in Texas or has been here for more than a decade or so will have the same takeaway. It's a travesty that A&M and Texas stopped playing 13 years ago. There was no reason for that. Probably some of the blame goes to Texas. It is one of the few, when you look around the country, one of the few in-state rivalry games that was dropped. But, of course, now everybody gets their wish. It's back. In fact, it's bigger and more important than any other A&M-Texas game that I can remember, because history is telling you that rarely are both of them really good at the same time. Rarely are they playing for a championship at the same time. That's the way it is now. There's an amazing environment of the two states' flagship schools playing. The environment at Kyle Field will be off the charts. The storytelling will be off the charts. And the meaning of the game, I mean, what happens on the field, for all the players who don't know the history of the game, they do know this. They're in an SEC semifinal. Then the question would be, which A&M team shows up on Saturday night? Let's talk about it. This is Game Day. I'm Jeff Ward.
Game Day with Jeff Ward on News Radio 1080 KRLD, powered by Uber Eats. You're listening to Game Day with Jeff Ward, powered by Uber Eats, breaking down Texas college football right here on News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's Game Day. I'm Jeff Ward, and it is now Texas A&M and Texas playing again for the first time in 13 years. It is a 6:30 kick at Kyle Field. And for the lack of a better term, this is the semifinal for the SEC championship game. The winner takes on Georgia for the SEC title and a first-round bye in the college football playoff. A&M is coming off a 4-overtime loss at Auburn. Texas beat Kentucky in Austin 31-14. So let's talk all about it. It's an interesting setup, to say the least. Andrew Monaco is a longtime voice of Aggies football. All right, Andrew, you're going to tell us all which A&M team is going to show up. Certainly not the one that played the first quarter against Auburn a week ago.
You hope not, or there's going to be a lot. Well, I would say a lot of people turn it off. Longhorn fans wouldn't turn that off at all. No, and that was the surprise. That, you know, it is almost Jekyll and Hyde, is it not, for A&M? And they had won the road games at Florida and Mississippi State, and then they kind of reverted to how it's been the last couple of years. Very slow starts at South Carolina, even worse start at Auburn, and yet it took the lead in both those games, and they had the lead even later at Auburn, despite gifting Auburn, if you will, 21 points. So, yeah, it has to be the team that has been lights out at home because, Jeff, I love the way you put it. It absolutely is the semifinals, and Georgia awaits the winner of this one for that Dayton Atlanta.
Yeah, of all the conferences around the country, I mean, this one is as clear as can be. I mean, that's the upside. There's no confusion about what happens. There's no scoreboard watching for either side. They know exactly what's next. And for A&M, it might very well be win or go to some obscure bowl game, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because they have to win twice if they want to be in the 12-team playoff. They're not going to get in if they win over Texas and lose to Georgia in that SEC championship game. That's just not going to happen. And that's what the loss, the 4-overtime loss at Auburn did. It did not take away their opportunity to get the SEC championship. It was more magnified along the lines of the 12-team college football playoff for that. But as Mike Elko said, unlike 2020, when they were on the outside looking in and at then the 4-team playoff, they needed help. This is now in their hands. They don't need help from anybody. They didn't need help. You know, Georgia got in because of what Oklahoma did to Alabama and what Florida did. It didn't affect Texas A&M, and that's what Mike Elko has preached to his team. Just what you said, Jeff, when you said the semifinals. Marcel Reed said it Monday as well. The playoffs start now for Texas A&M. And who knew that once this rivalry restored, that there was going to be this on the line as well?
Yeah, I'm really curious about the sort of time frame and how Mike Elko turned around and pitched it to his team, because yeah, I mean that was the loss at Auburn was just so bizarre. The start was bizarre, and then they come roaring back, as you said. But then they think when they get beat in 4 overtimes, I guess there was a period in there where they thought, oh no, this a chance at an SEC championship is gone. And then somewhere in there, I got to believe, while they're in the locker room or, you know, heading on the bus or wherever they're going, somewhere in there, they found out, oh my gosh, all the dominoes fell our way. We're alive.
Yeah, that's exactly the time frame, Jeff. It Mike did find out in that locker room, and it did. It hurts. And a game like that, to me, against Auburn, every single play.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy 2 and get 3 free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each, limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who comes off that field says to himself, what's the one play I could have made that turns this game around? And Mike has told this to his team. This is why he says focus. In a game that has 160 snaps, what's the most important? All 160. And it's hard. It's hard to take, but athletes understand that's what it takes to resonate with each of those players, that you can't take one off. You can't have them go over the top for a 63-yard pass. You can't give up 9 explosive plays. What if it's just 8 or 7? That's still too many, but what about a clean snap? So you could possess the ball for the last 4 minutes, but instead a snap goes through your hands and it's 2nd and 17. It doesn't come down to Amari Daniels dropping that pass in the end zone. It's the 159 plays before then. That's what Mike Elko has been telling this team. And I think it's more importantly, I think that's the message that has been received. Obviously it comes down to execution, but this team now believes that, oh, this is why Mike was yelling at us at halftime at LSU, telling us to focus. But it's been that consistency of message. And now for Texas A&M, it's all in their hands, taking on Texas on Saturday.
Yeah, you, playing Texas, you're stepping up in class. You can't spot Texas 21 and like they did Auburn, expect to come back. But I did find, as I'm watching that game, I'm just shocked at the way the A&M defense started. That is not the way they've looked all year. That's a good defense. I haven't seen them do that all year. But then I'm thinking, hang on a second. This comeback, this might just very well be Marcel Reed's moment, even though they ended up losing. I thought, wow, that guy, he lit it up for 2.5 quarters. There has to be some good feeling about that.
He didn't look like it was just his 9th game, did he?
And
that's,
no.
I get that's why he's the number one, I think, because of that consistency and how he has grown week to week. And I also like, Jeff, that they didn't start chasing points in that game. Look, it's disappointing, 21-0, Jordan Hare. the only thing worse would have been 28-0, right? But Marcel Reed and this team, they didn't abandon the run game. They didn't become one-dimensional. Yes, they threw a little bit more. Marcel ran a little bit more, obviously, than he did against New Mexico State the week before. So that's the thing. They still gave themselves a chance to win, had a great chance to win. And you can almost say they should have won that if they make those plays. But, yeah, I think that's the confidence that they have. I'm with you. I never expect the defense to play like that. Now, this is also from watching Mike Elko as a defensive coordinator for 4 years. And we've seen missed tackles and we've seen missed plays, but not that many explosive plays. And you know, in a Mike Elko defense, usually as you get deeper in a season, there's better communication and you really seem to be on that same page. That's what's been so disappointing about the losses to South Carolina and Auburn, is it's not to their identity. They kind of lost that identity on defense. And I thought in South Carolina, it was one of those games. Well, you know what? Defense isn't playing great. You know what, offense? You're going to have to bail them out. Your defense kept you in the game against Notre Dame. The defense shut down LSU, so the offense is scored. Offense maybe has to carry the defense this time. They almost did this time at Auburn, but I really think this is a defense that's going to take this to heart and not replicate what they've done in the last two losses.
Talking to Andrew Monaco, the voice of the Aggies. It's Texas and Texas A&M on Saturday night for the first time in 13 years. For the SEC, we'll call it the semifinal. You know, it's funny, Andrew, there's almost like two parts to this, you know, starting this rivalry again. I mean, I would say as a kid growing up in Texas, this thing should have never stopped in the first place. And I'm not sure that was A&M's fault, probably Texas's fault. But now
I look at the setup of this week, and I guess it's anybody above the age of probably 25 or 30. You know this game. These players, they we have to realize there's the pageantry for the rest of us, right? I mean, this is, you know, this is fun. This is cool. This is the way things should be. This is a great way to end the year. You know, it's everything. If you grew up in the state of Texas, this rivalry and the two schools, I mean, flagship university should be playing each other, period. But then you got a bunch of guys that are 18 to 20, and they don't even remember the game.
No, they're going, oh, this is an SEC rival. Whoa, wait. Big 12, Southwest Conference.
Right, all of that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And then, Jeff, won't it feel like after the first snap, we did miss the I shouldn't say didn't miss, but almost like the 13 years will melt away.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I think
I like
you're going to have once again. Yeah, but you're right. You're talking about a lot of players who probably don't understand that Tucker's field goal went through in 2011. And Texas wins the last matchup in this. And that DeLoss Dodd said, you know what, I'm going to schedule the next matchup with Texas A&M. Well, DeLoss, no, you didn't. It was Greg Sankey in the SEC who did that. And here comes the petty part for me. You ready?
Okay.
I guess A&M made the right decision 13 years ago, but there's not a person in Texas who's going to say you were right. The Aggies took a lot of grief for leaving to the SEC, but, Jeff, all they did was follow Arkansas and Nebraska and Colorado and Missouri, right? And now Oklahoma and Texas understand what it is in this new day and age of college athletics that the brand Texas, the brand of Oklahoma, belongs in what is also a brand of 14 other schools in the SEC. That's where we're going. And that's why you've got to be back in this conference. But Jeff, it's not just Texas. There wasn't another Big 12 school. Tech didn't schedule A&M. Baylor didn't schedule A&M. And for me, that was short-sighted because that's a guaranteed sellout.
Yeah,
it was always going to be that.
No, I think it's. I don't think it's petty at all. I think it's completely fair. And so I wonder through all these years, is the A&M perspective, hey, we wanted to play, not just Texas, as you said, Texas Tech. We wanted to play you guys. We would have played you guys. Just the phone just never was ringing. And so is there any, you said pettiness, I'll say maybe justified bitterness. Is there any bitterness that carries over from the A&M side?
I don't know if it's bitterness. I think you say justified. I think A&M in 2024 is not the same A&M in 2012, if that makes sense. I think it's stronger. I think Scott Woodward, I do know, reached out to Texas to try to play. I do know that. I always thought, Jeff, to tell you honestly, I thought Jerry Jones might get involved and have these two, because he would see the money that could be made by playing. I thought it might be something like that. Or remember, what was it, Tennessee and Virginia Tech played at Bristol Speedway?
Yep.
Were we going to see that somewhere, something like that? So, yeah, it was there. But I think A&M's athletic department got stronger in these 13 years. I don't think it's the same program that when they last played in 2011. Look, and I'm going to say this. I think Texas is very much prepared for the SEC. They're proving that as well under Steve Sarkisian and how they've been. You don't get to be the number three program in the country by luck. That's not it. I think they prepared to come in, unlike Oklahoma. I don't think is prepared for the SEC schedule is different from the Big 12. So I think Ross Bjork also reached out, and I think it was, I don't know what the answer ever was from Texas, but it was, you know what, we were moving on, and there was pride in A&M being the lone Texas school in the SEC. Well, guess what? Now this conference is as strong, and this conference will direct where college football is going, because there will be one more seismic shift, I think, probably around 2030, something like that. And we'll see that, but they'll be rivals once again, and they'll be together from here on out. But A&M was just fine without them. They really were. And that's the thing. They weren't going to pine for them, and they weren't going to pine for the Big 12. And I guess it comes down to when Bill Power said, you know, we'll take care of you. That was before the move to the Pac 12 or the Pac 16. Texas A&M said, you know what? We're not looking west. We're looking east. And made that agreement with then Commissioner Mike Slines.
You know, whatever happens, it's you know, hopefully they both play well. One of them doesn't disappear for a quarter or two. Have a great call on the game and enjoy every minute of it, Andrew.
Jeff, thank you so much, my friend.
You bet. This is Game Day. I'm Jeff Ward.
Game Day with Jeff Ward on News Radio 1080 KRLD, powered by Uber Eats. Game Day with Jeff Ward, where Texas college football goes under the lights. On News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Jeff Ward, and this is Game Day. Let's talk about A&M in Texas and the ramifications of A&M Texas. A win either way. Let's chat with Cedric Golden, a longtime columnist for the Austin American-Statesman. Okay, Ced, do you buy what is now being talked about as a nightmare scenario for the SEC that would leave the SEC with only two teams into the tournament, and that whole thing would start with an A&M win over Texas and knocking Texas out of the tournament?
I don't think it would knock Texas out. I think you don't exclude a 10-2 SEC team from the tournament. I think Texas is in, win or lose. It's a nightmare scenario. But I don't think the CFP committee has the cojones to push Texas out after a 10-2 season. I just don't see that happening.
You think it's a bad look for the league if you've got, you know, because Georgia still has Georgia Tech. Now, Georgia's in the final game no matter what. But, I mean, it's not outrageous. They could turn around and lose that game. Then you'd have an A&M team not stumbling in. I guess beating Texas is far more than that. But you'd have two three-loss teams in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, for the people on the outside looking in, I think they would have a legitimate beef. It's like, whoa, you know. There are going to be some one-loss teams from other conferences that might not get in. Definitely some two-loss teams that aren't going to get in. So we know that Georgia is usually a top-five team, but there have been times when they didn't play like it. And the same can be said for a team like Tennessee or a team like Alabama that's right now on the outside looking in. So I believe the SEC and the Big Ten – created the CFP, and I would be shocked if the SEC didn't have three teams in this bracket.
Yeah, I still almost see four just because. But okay, for A&M, what's your big picture takeaway of this A&M team this year?
Tough minded. They've taken on the personality of their coach Mike Elko. That was a really good hire. We talked about that in the past, Jeff. He's a no-nonsense guy who's kind of cleaned up that locker room and brought accountability back to that program. I think that they are going to give their best effort. They're going to get after Texas. I don't think they can beat Texas because I think Texas is just simply better and more positions. And the Longhorns are an old team of juniors and seniors, many of whom went through a 5-7 nightmare. So there's not a whole lot that's going to be able to rattle the Longhorns. I like what I see from the Aggies. I think they're kind of where Texas was 2 years ago when they went 8-5 and got to a nice bowl game against Washington.
All right. So for Texas, that at times this year they've had two quarters of play where they fought on their face and Georgia beat them up pretty badly, but you know, they've been meh at times on offense, but it's been good enough. Maybe that's because their defense is that good or their schedule is that weak. You see a scenario in which Texas just doesn't show up on Saturday night?
No, because they've shown up for every game this year. They're not a team that doesn't show up. They're not a team that's going to get run by 30. That is not in their makeup. Their defense, they may not have played a great murderer's row schedule, but at the beginning of the year, did we know Michigan would be horrible? At the beginning of the year, did we know that some of the teams that they've beaten would be down? That's not really their problem. So I don't envision them getting blown out by anybody because they just have too many good players on both sides of the ball. And even on a day when the offense isn't getting it done, they can always rely on that defense, which has held, seven different teams under 20 points? That's unheard of in program history. They're a historic defense with a really good offense. It's really ironic, Jeff, that Steve Sarkisian is an offensive coach, but he knows that he's coaching a defensive team.
Talking to Cedric Golden of the Austin American-Statesman about A&M v. Texas, what is, you know, it's really turned out to be an SEC semifinal. I mean, you don't see any way in which A&M, even a close game, an overtime game, whatever it plays out, however it plays out, you don't see a scenario that A&M gets in.
No, they got to win two games to get in, and nothing else. They can beat Texas and lose to Georgia and still not get in the playoff. That loss to Auburn was brutal, man. That was a brutal loss, and so they you know, they had everything working for them. If they could have beaten Auburn and beat Texas, then it was possible they could lose to Georgia and still get in. But as it is now, a fourth loss will knock them out of the box.
You know, I've heard this SEC narrative that they're trying to push, and maybe not pushing too hard yet, and that is we think it's unfair that, you know, because the setup is not just in the SEC, but in the Big Ten, too, for someone like Penn State. The setup is you're, in some ways, can be better off not playing in that championship game. You don't run, you know, you don't win the league and then get a bye, but you still have a better chance of getting into the tournament. The SEC is now barking and saying a team that makes a championship game should not be punished. It has to be considered. You think that's hot air?
No, I think that's legitimate. But if that team already has three losses, then I'm sorry. That doesn't do it for me. If A&M wins this game and loses to Georgia, you can't explain away them losing four games. They lost to 4-6 Auburn. I don't care what league we're in. You lost to a 4-6 team. And when you're the big bad SEC, there are certain responsibilities that come with that and certain conditions that come with that. And the biggest of the conditions is there's going to be teams in other leagues with better records than you that think that you know you can be, but you're in the big bad SEC. That's part of the terrain. You got to deal with it.
Of the two quarterbacks, Quinn Ewers, Marcel Reed, which one has to play better and carry his team if they want to win?
Marcel Reed has to play better. There have been games where Quinn Ewers didn't play great, but they have a great defense and they have enough of a running game and they made just enough plays to get it done. If Marcel Reed turns the ball over twice, A&M's probably going to get run out of its own stadium. If Quinn turns it over twice, the Longhorns will still have a good chance to win that game.
Yeah. Any scenario in which you see either guy get pulled?
No. Outside of getting hurt?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Now, Quinn didn't show up for the Monday availability, and we know he hurt his ankle in the last game, so we don't know how good he's getting around over these last couple of days. So be watching him in pregame warmups to see if he's moving well. If he's just a sitting duck and can't move at all, then you put the kid in, and they're plenty good enough to beat A&M even with the kid.
Well, it's weird because we found out when Texas is playing Kentucky. And not a well played game really by any stretch. Not a work of art. But you know, they're talking about him being hobbled with a bad ankle, and there was at no point did you get the impression that Steve Sarkisian was gonna pull him for Arch Manning.
No, and I don't really blame Sark. Here's the thing I've come to understand: Steve Sarkisian loves hard. That's his guy. Quinn Ewers is his guy, and Quinn Ewers, he's giving Quinn Ewers every opportunity to not only lead this team to special places, but also try and improve his draft stock because Quinn's leaving. And so, for me, I understand Quinn Ewers is part of the reason Steve Sarkisian is making $10.5 million a year. He helped him earn that raise. He helped build this thing that where it is now, from 5-7 to 8-5 to 12-2 to 10-1. That's been one hell of a ride. And Quinn Ewers has been in one of the two big seats. He's been in one seat and Sarkisian's been in the other.
All right, man. As always, good talking to you.
Okay, bro. Later.
All right, next up, let's talk about who is under the most pressure. Teams, players, coaches, you name it. We'll talk about the pressure and make a few predictions. I'm Jeff Ward. This is Game Day.
Game Day with Jeff Ward on News Radio 1080 KRLD, powered by Uber Eats. This is Game Day with Jeff Ward, powered by Uber Eats on News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Jeff Ward. This is Game Day. So what coaches, players, or teams are under the most pressure to deliver this weekend? There's a lot to spread around. Here we go. The under pressure list.
Now, under pressure, powered by Sampec, five-star Ford, North Richland Hills.
Under pressure, obviously. I mean, it's there may not be a player under more pressure in the entire weekend than A&M quarterback Marcel Reed. He's been spectacular at times. He was spectacular for about 2.5 quarters against Auburn in their loss. It wasn't all his fault that A&M was behind 21-0 in the first quarter. But if you just look at this Texas game, it's on him. As he goes, so goes A&M. This is a chance, you know, when you think about it, and he's really improved. It's the A&M defense that let him down against Auburn. But if you think about where he is as a player, this is a chance for him to make a name for himself. This is a chance, you know, this is the kind of game where you make legends, and he gets that chance. But it can't be 2.5 quarters of good play and 1.5 quarters of spotty play. He's got to play well for 60 minutes for them to have a chance. He is under by far the most pressure. Under pressure also, less so, but it's still his game. That's Quinn Ewers. I think you could argue that Quinn Ewers is facing the second best defense he's played all year. The first was Georgia. Because they got pressure, they absolutely wrecked Texas offensively. And could A&M do some of the same stuff? Because Texas and Quinn Ewers, when they face pressure, when you get to them, it's a completely different offense. And A&M's got that kind of talent. They can bring that. It's a very good A&M front seven. Is it good enough to shut him down and shut down the Texas passing game? Can Texas win with a mediocre Quinn Ewers? And the answer is probably yes. Probably. The question then would be, could they win if they got far behind and then they have to throw every single down? So a mediocre Quinn Ewers, the answer is maybe Texas wins. A good, really good Quinn Ewers, and Texas does win. He's under pressure. Under pressure. The top half, which in this case is really pretty much seven teams, the top half of the Big 12 Conference, and yes, I said all of them, it's all of them are under pressure because all of them, to have any chance, they have to win. Here's the way it works for the Big 12. Okay, win on Saturday and start scoreboard watching immediately because that's the world you're in. For Texas Tech, for Baylor, for Colorado, BYU, Arizona State, and Iowa State. And yes, they're all very much in play. They have to win, and for many of them, hope. It is a weird and crazy setup, but the first step is to win. And if you sort of look at all of them, you know, you can make an argument that Colorado is the least likely of all of them to lose. Of the top four teams, they host a bad Oklahoma State team in Boulder. But the most recent college football poll, this is why there's pressure on the Big 12 in more ways than just the chaotic finish. The pressure is that Boise State now is ranked higher than any Big 12 team. And the reason why that's significant now is because five highest ranked conference winners get a bye in the first round of the playoff. And if the rankings hold, and it looks like they will, that means the Big 12 winner would not be among the top five in rankings, and they would not get the first round bid. The highest ranked Big 12 teams are BYU at 14, Colorado at 16, and Arizona State at 21. It's an embarrassing look right now as it stands for the Big 12. What the league can do about it at this point, not a heck of a lot. They probably have to hope that BYU and Colorado win and win big. And that's another thing is that ideally, if they want to try to get that spot and jump Boise State, the winner of the league is going to have to blow some people out. And then they got to watch the scoreboard and hope some way this committee thinks the artwork of their performance is better than Boise State. So the league is under pressure. Under pressure, no doubt, the A&M defense. Marcel Reed, their quarterback, is going to have to come up with big plays. and make few to no mistakes. I mean, he's going to have to be rock solid. But for A&M to get into a scoring match with Texas is not going to work well for them. So that A&M defense, in particular, that front seven, has to get pressure. The tough part is it's an A&M defense that at times is spectacular, other times just disappears. It's a weird setup, but they're ranked 11 of 16 in the SEC. They've got to get to yours, and they've got to give their team a chance. They've got to give their quarterback a chance to win this game. The Aggies can't spend the night chasing points in a scoring match against Texas. They tried that a week ago against Auburn and couldn't match them. It's going to be a different game trying to match Texas. This is Mike Elko's specialty, so his secondary has to match what the Texas passing game can bring. The A&M defense is very, very, very much under pressure, and he knows it, and he's not been satisfied with the way his defense has played.
Now, by the numbers, powered by Classic Chevrolet.
All right, let's do this. Let's pick a few games. There are a lot that matter, including the SEC semifinal. As always, we remind you, no wagering unless, of course, it's among family members. Since it's a holiday, of course you want to bet with your family, right? That always ends well. Start with SMU. They're favored by 9.5. Look out for SMU. Been talking about them all year. Maybe people are starting to realize how good they are. They've moved up to 10 in the latest college football poll, and they deserve it. Very much deserve it. SMU is 4-0 on the road, and they don't just win on the road. They blow everybody out on the road. They're at Virginia. They're favored by 9.5. I know you could say, hey, look, they're already in the ACC championship game. This is a game where they might look past it or rest. They haven't shown that at all. I'll take them to cover the 9.5 just because you can trust them not just to win, but you can trust them to blow people out. TCU, at home, favored by 11.5 over Arizona. I'll take TCU in a big blowout. They're due for that. It's been a pretty good year. They've been frustrated at times, so I think they take it out on Arizona at home. UTSA is getting 7 points against Army. Sorry, San Antonio, but I'll take Army to cover here. I'm going to take Army to cover. Baylor is a one. Get this. It's a weird game because Kansas is weird. Baylor's a 1-point underdog at home against Kansas. So the Kansas story of the past 3 weeks is crazy. They're the first team in history to beat 3 ranked teams in a row while also having a losing record. But I believe they've done all that at home. So they go on the road to Waco. It's a must win. You know, Baylor's had a good year no matter what. Dave Aranda deserves props no matter what. But Baylor's got a chance to get in the Big 12 championship game. It's convoluted, but they have to win. I'll take Baylor to get their 6th straight win. Isn't that amazing? 6 straight wins for a Baylor team that's predicted dead last. I take them to cover. Texas Tech is favored by 3.5 at home against West Virginia. Tech scored 56 a week ago. I'll take them to cover because, like Baylor, they're in a must-win game at home as well. Then you get, of course, the semifinal game. The semifinal is of the SEC. That's A&M hosting Texas at Kyle Field, 6:30. Anybody above the age of 30 probably knows the history of this. The players don't. I mean, what are they, 4 or 5? The last time this game was even played, so they don't know, but the rest of us do. The line started at the week at 7.5, which is huge for Kyle Field, because I think Kyle Field is worth at least 3 points. It is now settled in at 5.5 points right now, with Texas favored. I think Kyle Field has to be worth 3 or more, and I'm going to trust, even though there's not much of a body of work to trust them completely, because they've been good for 2 or 3 quarters and then terrible for a quarter. It's been an up-and-down A&M team, but when they're right, they're really good. I'll take the Aggies. If they can play, they don't have to play 60 really good minutes. How about 56 really good minutes? What they've done all year long is play 40 to 45, and it's not been enough at times. But I think their defense, if they can get to Quinn Ewers, and I think you'll know pretty quickly, if they can get to Quinn Ewers, I think Texas wins in a close game just because their experience, they know how to close games out. They got a quarterback with experience. They've got a defense with experience. So I think they end up winning. But I think A&M can keep it within the 5.5. So I'll take the Aggies to cover in the SEC semifinal. All right, that's it for game day. I'm Jeff Ward. We'll do it again next week.
Game Day with Jeff Ward on News Radio 1080 KRLD, powered by Uber Eats.